Good morning. Welcome to worship with West End United Methodist Church. Whether you are here in our sanctuary or joining us online, we are glad that you are with us this morning. I have a couple of announcements. The first is that we'd love for you to register your attendance with us. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are pads at the end of each pew. If you wouldn't mind filling those out and passing them down to your neighbors. And if you're a visitor, we'd love for you to leave some contact information so that we can be in touch with you. If you are joining us online, there should be a link on the screen or in the chat for you to follow to register your attendance as well. Our church is headed to the Sounds game on Tuesday, July 27th. It is open to anyone who'd like to join us, but you will need to register by this Wednesday, July 21st. You'll need to purchase your tickets by then. For those of you in the sanctuary, that information should be available through the QR code that's on the back of the bulletin. And those of you following online, there should be a link in the chat or on the screen for you to follow. This coming week, our youth will be participating in a mission experience here in Nashville. 13 youth and 3 adults will be working with Project Cure, Open Table Nashville, and People Loving Nashville. And they will also be taking a history tour of the city and praying for our city as we go. And we want to be in prayer for them. At the earlier service, we commissioned them and prayed over them, and so they will be off this week, but I invite you to keep them in your prayers during this experience this week. And finally, this would normally be the day when we would have our Teze service in the evening, but we're taking a break for the month of July, so there will be no Teze this evening. Now let us prepare our hearts and our minds to worship God this morning.
Rejoice! 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 Lift your voices in praise and worship for our radiant God. Open your hearts to the unconditional love offered to each of us. Show up today as you are, with all of who you are. We embrace the beauty of God's love for us today. When we are tired, we are weak. When we don't know how or what to pray, the Holy Spirit goes before us and with us, forming prayers out of wordless sighs. And God welcomes us with open arms, ready to receive us. So then let us confess our sins together, that together we might experience God's Spirit at work in our midst. God of loving light, we confess that we try to build walls, separating ourselves into categories. It feels so much easier to make assumptions about others than to take the time to know them. Forgive us for the walls we build that strive to keep others out of your holy presence. Remind us today that you are greater than walls and buildings. Help us work alongside you to heal the hurting within us and around us. May we be open to feeling your presence, trusting that you are with us. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. Also, mind social distancing. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Kevin and Jenny Bach bring their daughter to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Family of Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Kevin and Jenny, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people. Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. So pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that in dying she may be raised with Christ in final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with you and the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns forever. Amen.
What name is given this child? Madeline Eliza. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to lay hands on Madeline. Madeline Eliza, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
Amen.
Will the congregation please stand and face Madeline Eliza? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Madeline Eliza to your love and grace and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Madeline Eliza, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together, you in body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, our own witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament. From the book of Revelation, Chapter 21, verses 10 and verses 22 and 27, and chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Escuchen la lectura. And in the Spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no more night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore. But the throne of the God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night there. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. La palabra de Dios para el pueblo de Dios. The word of God for the people of God. Gracias damos a Dios.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. If you'd like to come and find a spot with a little animal on it, you can come and sit. Come on down. I have something special to show you. Come on and have a seat. You can find an animal if you want to find an animal to sit on. Okay, so I want to show you what I brought. My son is really into gems and jewels these days. And we use these for a craft project, and he got really excited about them. They look like jewels and gems. Here's a big pink one. You see this one? It's a special one. Here's a little round red one, oval red one. Here's a big blue one. What do you think about that? Can you imagine if there was a wall made only of gems and jewels that looked like that? Wouldn't that be amazing? In our scripture today, we learned about a special city. And there was a man named John who was having a hard time. And he wrote a letter to some churches to try to encourage them. And in his letter, he told them about a vision that he had. A vision is sort of like a dream, but when you're awake. And in this vision, he saw a city. And around the whole edge of the city was a wall. We didn't read this part in the scripture. We skipped over it. But there was a wall made only of jewels and gems. Wouldn't that be amazing? That wall was so big around the city that lots and lots of people could come into the city. And you know what? There was a gate into the city, but the gate was always open. Anybody could come in whenever they wanted to. Everybody was welcome. And there was no temple in the city, which means that God was everywhere in the city, just like God is everywhere with us. And there was a tree in the city, and it had fruit all year long. You know how sometimes there's fruit in a special season? Sometimes strawberries are best in like June. Watermelons are starting to come in now. But this tree had fruit all year long. You could get delicious fruit. This city was a special place because everybody was welcome, everybody was safe, everybody was with God, and everybody had all that they needed to eat and to drink. You know, we can't go to that city right now, but we can help our church to be a little bit more like that city. We can welcome people when they come. We can make them feel welcome. We can share what we have with others so that they know, so that they can have enough. And we can remind everyone that God is with us always. Will you have a prayer with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks that you are always with us. We give you thanks that you give us a vision of what a city could look like. And we ask that you would help us to make our church a little bit more like that city. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you all like a little gem to take home with you? Okay. Here we go. Here you go. You can. All right. If you all wouldn't mind putting your dots, your circles in a pile down there, that would be helpful. Could you put your circles in a pile? Thank you. Thank you very much. You can just put them down on the floor there. Thank you. Would you pray with me? Oh God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If you have been following along with our sermon series this summer, you'll know that our theme has been Rise and Shine. Beginning with the book of Genesis, we have looked at passages throughout the Bible having to do with light, with shining, and with God's glory. And this week, we are wrapping up our series with the passages that Teresa read from the book of Revelation. Now, when I realized that I would be preaching on this text, I did what any good preacher would do, and I tried to find out what other preachers have already said about this text. You see, parts of the book of Revelation can be a bit, well, different. And I don't think I'm alone in that thinking. Dr. Jan Love of the Candler School of Theology calls it weird. And in a sermon on this text, Barbara Brown Taylor comes right out and says that she doesn't like the book of Revelation. She is never one to mince words, and she goes on to say, "I don't even like people who like the book of Revelation, since so many of them use it to justify their crazier ideas about God and scare other people with what they think they know." That's a fair point. But thankfully, the part of Revelation that we've read today probably shouldn't scare anybody, at least I hope not. In fact, I think that it is a message of hope. It is a vision of God's promised paradise and the coming new creation. And the hallmark of that new creation is a city, the New Jerusalem. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of paradise, I don't usually think of a city. I might imagine a beach somewhere, or a beautiful wooded waterfall, or a majestic mountain view, but a city? No. Cities are noisy and they're crowded. They're often dirty and smelly, and there are so many problems in cities. There are traffic jams that test our patience. There's crime that leaves us fearful. There's a lack of affordable housing that leaves people sleeping in tent communities and on sidewalk grates. Why would a vision for our world center around a city? Well, perhaps one reason is that our God is a God of community. The God that we know in the three persons of the Trinity, Parent, Child, Holy Spirit, is by God's very nature communal. God is a community, three in one. And of course, this is the God who created us so that we could be in relationship with one another and with God. This is the God who loved us so much that God sent Jesus Christ to be with us in a body. And this is the same God who continues to be with us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Just prior to the verses that we read this morning, the author says, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples." God is a God of community. So perhaps it shouldn't be surprising that the vision of God's paradise in Revelation is a community. But this isn't just any community. This isn't a brand new urban planning project or an exclusive new gated community. In the words of Bible scholar Eugene Boring, God does not make all new things, but God does make all things new. This is a Jerusalem made new. This is a place of violence and ruin that will be redeemed and transformed into a place of peace and prosperity. This new Jerusalem will have no temple because God will be the temple. In other words, God won't be somewhere apart from the residents of the city. God won't be hidden behind walls or accessed through priests or mediators, because God will dwell with the people. And the residents of the city won't just be made up of one small nation or tribe, but the city will be large enough to include many peoples. Indeed, this new Jerusalem will shine so brightly that all nations will be guided by its light, and they will bring their glory into the city. And the gates of the city will never be shut. Of course, in biblical times, cities shut their outer gates as a form of protection. When the gates were closed, they could control who came in and who went out, and they could keep themselves safe from their enemies. But in this city, in the New Jerusalem, the gates will never be shut during the day, and there will never be night. They will always be open. The city will have a river with crystal clear water, flanked on each side by a tree covered in fruit that will yield its fruit all year long. And the leaves of the tree will provide healing for the nations. In other words, this paradise city will be characterized by abundance, where there's plenty of food and where healing can take place. This new Jerusalem will be a place of connection and safety and radical inclusivity. In the words of one commentator, it will be a beacon of hope to all people. It's a wonderful vision, isn't it? It sounds like a beautiful place to be. And yet, I have to admit that I don't really know what to do with that vision. It feels a bit like pie in the sky. It reminds me of when I was in kindergarten, and I had to tell my best friend that we were moving away. And I wanted to sound very adult, so I said, "Well, I have some bad news and I have some good news." I said, "The bad news is that I have to move to a different town. But the good news is that I'm going to be living closer to where my great-grandma lives." And my friend looked at me and she said, "Well, that's not good news for me." How is this future New Jerusalem good news for us? Sure, it might be good news for future us. It's something to look forward to in the great by and by. But how is it good news for us in the here and now? How is it good news for a world that's still reeling from a lethal pandemic that just won't quit? How is it good news for a world where climate change is killing off polar bears and manatees and causing heat waves and wildfires and flooding? How is it good news for the couple going through a divorce or the person who just lost their job or the individual struggling with depression? How is the New Jerusalem good news for us right now? Well, maybe it is helpful to remember that John's prophecy about the New Jerusalem wasn't only meant to be a hopeful vision for the future. In the words of Eugene Boring, the indicatives of biblical theology always contain an implicit imperative. The gift becomes an assignment. Let me translate if you don't do Bible speak. In other words, God's vision of the New Jerusalem is something that the Christian community is meant to work toward, to embody. The God of community who has called us into community also calls us to live out the values of the New Jerusalem in the here and now. If God's paradise city is meant to be a place of connection and safety and radical inclusion, then so is the church. If it's meant to be a place of abundance and healing, so is the church. If the New Jerusalem is meant to be a beacon of hope to all people, so is the church. The gift has become an assignment. This past week, my uncle called me up. He told me that his friend was in hospice care here in Nashville, and he asked if I would go by and see him. My uncle lives out of state, and he didn't think that he was going to be able to make it here before his friend was expected to pass away. I already knew this friend because I had led a memorial service for his son just a few years ago. For my uncle's friend, losing his young adult son was just one more horrible tragedy in a life filled with tragedy. He had experienced homophobia and religious trauma, broken relationships, addiction, and other diseases. So I went to see him. All of his family had already been to see him and they had gone home, and he was alone. And he didn't wake up when I entered the room. But I knew that hearing is one of the last senses to go. So I told him how much my uncle wished that he could be there with him. I told him how much my uncle loved him. And then I told him that God loves him unconditionally. As I left the hospice, I wondered how that man's life might have been different if he had grown up in a community of faith that loved and accepted him for who he was. I wondered how his life might have been different if the church had been for him a place of safety and healing and a beacon of hope rather than a source of rejection and shame. Of course, there's no way to know. I can only pray that in his final hours, all he heard were words of love, and all he experienced was hope and peace. Friends, my deepest prayer for us is that we can be a community of connection and safety and radical inclusion. My prayer is that when people are struggling, when they have been hurt by other people or by religious institutions or just by life, that West End United Methodist Church might be a beacon of hope, a place of healing, a sanctuary of peace. Of course, we can't magically fix everything that's wrong in the world, and we can't make everything right for everyone. But as much as we are able, I hope that we can continue to embody that vision of a new Jerusalem in real and tangible ways as we celebrate God's presence, as we love and serve others, as we seek justice and resist evil, and as we proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, who is our judge and our hope. Friends, we serve a God of community, a God who promises a future of connection and safety and radical inclusion, a God who promises a future of abundance and healing, a future of hope and peace. May we as a community of faith continue to live into that future, into that good news, as we live the loving light of Christ today and always. Amen.
As Erin reminded us in her sermon, we too now have the opportunity to profess our faith openly. If you will stand in body or spirit and turn to page 883 in your hymnal and proclaim together the United Church of Canada's faith statement. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to a time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share with those prayers with the pastoral team throughout the week, please click the link and contact us on the website. And if you're here in person, there are gray cards in the pew rack in front of you that you can fill out and put into the offering boxes on your way out of the sanctuary. Our deepest sympathy is extended to four families today: Mark and Nancy Deaton and their family are mourning the death of Mark's mother, Carol Array Deaton, who passed away on June the 20th in Martinsville, Virginia. Thomas William Bill Estes Jr. passed away on July the 3rd. A graveside service was held on July the 9th in Mount Olivet Cemetery. Carl and Grace O and their family are mourning the death of Carl's mother, Pong Soong O, who passed away on July the 8th, and services will be held at a later date. Alan and Gretchen Horner and their family are mourning the death of their sister-in-law, Sue Horner, who passed away July 11th in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, we can only imagine the scene painted for us in Revelation, in which we are given a glimpse of eternity and the ability to experience your love face to face. This love pours over all the land, bathing it in healing, warmth, and hope. We have gathered this day to celebrate the gift of your kingdom, a place of safety where all people have enough and there's no more pain or suffering. May this vision of hope be a reality to those who suffer, those who are mourning, those who are excluded, and for all who feel hopeless in the face of an uncertain future. Open our hearts to see the wonder of your eternity. Bring us to the realization that your kingdom is here on earth. Empower us to notice your kingdom and work to make it a reality in all the spaces we go, our homes, our work, our lives, and our communities. May West End UMC be a place that embodies this hope for all people and serves as a reminder of this great vision of eternity. For it's the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we offer this prayer, and the prayer that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All that we have comes from God and belongs to God. Let us give generously.
are marching to Zion. On our way there, may we embody the values of that beautiful city. And in the meantime, may we go with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen.